Robert, I have a question for you. I seem to remember there was a time, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, where people didn't tend to publicize the Alexander technique. Alexander teachers themselves didn't tend to publicize it. First of all, it was difficult to describe to someone else, and there was almost a sense that Alexander himself wouldn't have wanted to see it too publicized, lest it get misinterpreted. But Alexander himself was very good at publicizing the
Oh,
technique,
yes, he was.
and he was actually a great marketer of his method. And so
How do we reconcile that?
how do we reconcile it? And
Reconcile it,
yes,
Well, I think you're
and
absolutely
how
right.
and what can we do to be more or better at marketing the way Alexander was?
Well, it's funny you should ask because I've just written another little piece for the Alexander Twitter project, which we talked about last time, and addressed the whole question of what would Alexander have to say about the Alexander Twitter project? Were he alive today?
Oh,
And
you're channeling him there.
I'm not channeling him. I'm speculating based on the facts. And the facts are, as you said, that he did everything imaginable to put himself out there. He was the original tweeter. I mean, he wrote letters to the editor. He put out little pamphlets and adverts, and he wrote these books. And then he even wrote an autobiography that he got up to 1950 on, I think, or maybe not. He got up to a certain age and stopped. He was definitely out there, and whenever any famous person was associated with his work, he made as much as he could of that. And his books are sprinkled with names of honorable so-and-so. So he definitely was in promotional mode in terms of his work. On the other hand, he got very upset when people in his mind misrepresented it. And I think for him, for a long time he was the only teacher, and there were a few others, and so it was important to keep the to really safeguard the integrity of it and not let it get distorted. And also, I think Alexander, to be honest, had a kind of a proprietary interest in it. I mean, it was his technique, and he wanted to get the revenue stream. I mean, he was not above that. He wasn't. I don't think he was at all greedy, but he had a gigantic family of to support, all sorts of relatives out there in poverty, and he kind of needed the money. So I think he was a bit self-protective, and I think in the early days of the Alexander technique, we're talking 50s, 60s, 70s maybe, the technique, there weren't very many teachers, and technique was not terribly well known, and it could easily have gotten lost in the shuffle or gotten distorted into oblivion. That was a very real possibility, and I think we all owe a lot to the teachers of that period that kept it reasonably coherent and alive. But now we're in a kind of a different universe. There are thousands of teachers, and there are training courses that are second, third, fourth generation, and kind of everything's different now. And was your original question about the web and this, or just in general about publicity?
Well, in general, the web is fine. I think now one of the things that's quite different too is we have so many records of and even video records of some of the senior master teachers that trained under Alexander of their teaching.
We
So
certainly
that's
do.
not danger of getting lost. We don't
Right.
have
That's a
much
good
of
point.
Alexander himself, but we have that. So there are more visual records available. So the technique's not as much in danger of going off into oblivion and without some record of what it originally was.
Oh, I think
It
that's
hopefully
true.
still is.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is just full of really interesting Alexander Technique videos, quite a few by master teachers. and they're all there for anyone to watch. So you're absolutely right. I don't think the danger is quite the same now. I think the danger now is that, in a way, that there are so many other things out there that if you read their story or their publicity or go to their website, it could sound an awful lot like a description of the Alexander technique in terms of the benefits. And so the Alexander technique's, I think, greatest worry right now is kind of being lost in that shuffle and not necessarily losing its integrity, but just remaining what it is right now, which is quite honestly a tiny niche in the area of alternative health. It's not. It's a reasonably well-known name niche in that field, but you know, there are many, many things that come to mind to people when they think of alternative health that are way above the Alexander technique. You know, Pilates and homeopathy and shiatsu and all sorts of things that are much more out there.
Right.
Than the technique.
Yes.
So, in terms of marketing, I think the big challenge is to get the technique out there in a responsible way. And the internet in general, and right now, we're speaking in early 2010, right now Twitter is definitely the biggest game in town for promoting something. It's set up to do that. If you want, say you wanted to promote a revolution in Iran, how would you do it? Well, you'd use Twitter, and that's what they did, and that's why the State Department asked Twitter to postpone some maintenance that would have shut it down for a while during the revolution. It's that important. And of course, a political revolution and the Alexander technique are different things. But, you know, the Alexander technique does present a kind of a revolutionary way of thinking about posture and movement and aches and pains. And I don't see, to me, it seems like if you really want to promote the technique in a good way that will help you and help the technique, there's just no better place to do it than on the web. And particularly, so you need a website for sure, but also get on Twitter and start tweeting.
And I know we talked about this. I think we talked about this before, but I am all for doing this, and I'm going to do it. But I still don't quite understand how it goes, as you call it, going viral. How it gets to that status that more and more people know about it,
right.
Or even what going viral is. And so I just don't quite understand. Just a lot more people hear about it. Is that what happens?
Yeah, it's like you know, the whole system on Twitter is you can tweet and then people can retweet it, and so. And if you get enough people tweeting and retweeting, you get messages about the Alexander technique all over the place. And you get people saying, oh, I know about that. I had a good experience with it. And that gets retweeted. Or you get people saying, what is this Alexander technique? I want to learn more. And that gets retweeted. And the name gets out there. And at some point, it gets out there to enough people that you get a kind of a crescendo effect, and you get the kind of thing that happens, say, briefly with the British Medical Journal study on back pain, where suddenly internet traffic for the technique increases 8 or 9 fold over a few days, and that's a huge jump. And continues to be higher for a long period of time afterwards. And if that kind of thing happens and happens on a regular basis, it could create a kind of a shift in where the technique actually is on the scheme of things. So that when someone writes an article about alternative health, the word Alexander technique is very likely to be included, even if there's no explanation of what it is. That's what we want. People to say, wow, I wonder what that is. I'll go to the internet and find out.
That sounds great. I actually have another question about Twitter, but let's do it in a different conversation so it doesn't make this one too long.
Okay. So do you want to end this conversation?
Yeah, let's go ahead and end this
conversation. All right, so we'll end this conversation now.